Okay. This time I'll call the meeting of Franklin Township Board of Trustees regular meeting to order on December 23rd at 9 a.m. I'd ask Trustee Fleshman if he would please open us with prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunities. May our work be done diligently and for the residents, and may it be of what you perceive. For we ask in your name, amen.
Mr. Major, will you lead us in?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Mr. Major, when you're ready, give us a roll call.
Yes, sir. Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
And Mr. Leeser?
Yes. Moving on, no old business, new business. Mr. Wilczek, floor is yours.
Okay. It's my intentions to update you guys on a couple of things here, okay? So I have a copy of what will be the December bank reconciliation. Right now, it only reflects the carryover balance from November, and I need to highlight some things. As you can see, it's color coded. Okay. So at the very top, first thing that's referenced there is the old bank account. Access to that account has been shut off, and it was left with $16,463 in change. We don't know exactly what happened with it. We can make an assumption. But right now, we don't know what happened.
That money's gone?
I can't say it's gone. I can't say it's not.
Well, is it reflecting in our, if you log on, and is it there?
No.
Okay.
PNC is not doing you any favors because they are not responding and they are not giving access back to that account. As far as PNC goes and the access that Robin has, that account doesn't exist.
So this is the account that we were having problems with the fraudulent checks, and
that
we changed
correct.
To another account.
That is correct.
Okay.
It was ordered closed. It got closed. Literally. You can see nothing on it.
Right. So, and of course, we had to leave some money in there to make sure it covered any incidentals that may be floating around.
That was done and over with.
Okay.
If you flip down to the page two, second page, you'll see another transaction or another line that's in red.
Okay.
I have an unidentified transaction to the new checking account for $21,447.
As a debit?
As a credit.
As a deposit.
Added.
It is as if it was a deposit.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. We don't know what it is. You can make an assumption. But you know what happens with assumptions.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. There's also a $5,000 difference that we cannot explain. And the bank is not providing us with any information.
So you've been in this a long time. I know, like with insurance companies, different things. You have the Ohio Board of Insurance and things of that nature. Is there any board or government body that we can file a report to in regards to the handling of the bank, and they're not responding to
us?
Well,
at this point, I would suggest your legal counsel
okay.
draft a letter and threaten them taking them to court to get the information.
Okay.
Because we can't do anything with it. We can certainly make an assumption.
Is there any recourse other than that as far as like the Attorney General's office? Does anyone oversee the banking industry?
I don't know that one. Okay. I don't know where you can get help on this, to be honest.
I understand what you're saying about assumptions, but can part of that money be where the EMS funds were still going into that closed account?
It is possible. It's possible that, and I'm going to say possible, that it's the $16,000 plus some EMS transactions plus some credit card transactions.
Yeah.
It's $5,000. We don't know what it is. So we don't know how to record it.
Okay. Well, it's $21,000.
Total.
All
total.
16, well, then, net $5,000. Okay? So again, there's a problem there. And I honestly do not know why PNC is not responding to Robinson's inquiries or requests for information.
So, does it have anything to do with because it's not Ms. Justice? And did Ms. Justice...
No, because Robin's on the account, too.
Okay. So did Ms. Justice at all have anything to do with this? Any of this?
The bank reconciliation?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Day one, when she first came here, I presented her with the bank reconciliation and offered to go through it.
Okay.
And offered to work with her going through future ones. All I could do was leave a copy for her to review, and I never heard from her whatsoever.
So in the last 3 months, does she even have an iota of what's going on or any numbers?
No.
When's the last time she logged into UAN?
She can't.
She can't right now. And even when she did, she was timed out. She never ran a transaction.
So what?
Except for two different dates where one of us was standing over her shoulder walking her through a transaction because Robin was off with surgery on her wrist.
So that was the last time then?
Yes.
And what month would you say that was?
I believe that goes back to about May.
So May. So we're really over a year, almost a year come this May, but I mean over 6 months.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, all right. The next thing I want to point out to you on here, and again, once you get below the bank activity, the first set of total lines there.
What page? Okay, yeah.
Page one, yep. Here. Once you get below that, this is all the reconciling items that come into play with balancing to the books. Okay? Very normal to have outstanding checks and ACH transactions. That's normal. Okay? Receipts not in UAN. The light blue colors, those have been a problem, and trying to resolve that has been difficult. Last week I sat with Nicole for a couple of hours, and we were on the phone with the credit card processing company trying to figure out what was going on. So you've got a credit card transaction. It gets processed, the machine gets closed out, perfect. Goes over to Robin to get posted. Robin waits till she can see a transaction on the bank statement to match it up to.
24 hours.
Okay. And with credit card transactions, it can be 2 or 3 days, and with discovery, it could be a little bit longer. Okay. What we have found out is while you charge a person for the fee on the credit card and a fee for using a credit card, it is not matching up to what hits the bank. Sometimes there's two transactions added together. Sometimes it's just a single. But the credit card company is deducting fees from that transaction and giving you a net amount. Doesn't coincide to anything we have. We don't even know what the fee is until we called and made them look them up.
Yeah. So in my company, we do Visa, MasterCard. And what I found is depending upon if you're using a card that has rewards, then they take it from me or what I'm having deposited as a fee. So whatever.
And how much is that fee?
It can be anywhere from 6% to, depending upon the card and the rewards that card. So when someone gets rewards from a card, the vendor that took the card is the one that's really paying it. It comes off the cost of goods.
Well, there's an attempt here to charge a 3% fee and collect it with it from anybody charging or using a credit card. Okay.
Okay.
Problem is, the bank is the credit card company or the processor is deducting a fee far in excess of that.
Okay.
And once we were able to identify the fees tied to these transactions, we could match it back up to a receipt.
Okay.
So you got a problem there because we don't know what's going on. We also found out there is a website that she can sign into and look up this information. Nobody knew about it. We never got a bank statement on it. So we'll see what happens with what she's able to get her hands on.
Does this have anything to do with the Clover people?
I'm unaware of that.
The Clover people were the one with the credit card machine, and Miss Justice and them were battling back and forth on
insurance
and different things like that.
Well, there was, I can't answer that. I do know at one time there was a fee being charged because nobody would get online and address the security questions.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all part of it.
Well, I'm not sure what's going on here with these fees, okay? The other part that goes with the fees is on a monthly basis, you are being charged or deducted from your checking account an additional fee for merchant transactions.
Mm-hmm. 3%.
I wouldn't say it's 3%.
Yeah, it's more like 4 or 5.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even say that because I can't. I have nothing to look at to see what it is.
To do the math.
Okay.
I get what you're saying.
What it comes down to is your credit card fees far exceed anything that you're charging, and we cannot identify what it is.
So would it not be advantageous for this board to look at, I don't know what contract we're under with Clover or whoever we're with, but would it not make sense to look at some other vendors for credit card, be able to take the Visa and MasterCard?
It would be something that your fiscal department should be looking into.
Yeah.
It's not something the trustees should be getting involved with.
No. Sure.
Okay. That said, I suggested to Robin this morning that what you should look into is Square. Square charges roughly 3%. You could get online and see every single transaction and every fee that goes along with it, and there are no other fees that come into play.
Do they charge for the equipment?
I believe you have to buy a little Square.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the cost is on it. Okay.
Do you know if we have paid for the credit card machine that we have here?
I can't tell you that one.
Okay.
In most cases, you do buy it.
But
there are times where the bank will lease it to you.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're doing, because then we get a new one.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I do, too. Because as soon as you purchase it, 6 months later, they're like, that doesn't have the security features. You're going to need to buy a new one. And I'm like, that don't make sense. You just spent $800 for this one.
Yes. So, okay. Just below the red line on page 2 is the opposite side of some of these credit card transactions. There was receipts posted, but again, because we cannot tie them back to deposits coming in from the credit card company, they became a reconciling item. And you'll notice the description, at least the top 3 on page 2, it says references a receipt number. Once we had the fees identified, we were able to match things back up to a receipt.
So how much would you say in a 6 months or a year that we actually bring in from credit card and use? Roughly. Or even on a monthly basis.
I would say you're bringing in at times thousands of dollars. But not tens of thousands.
A month. Thousands a month or
you can
a year.
You can have a big week.
You have a credit card transaction, just look at the blue, $1,600.
Mm-hmm.
That's a net amount again. 170, 786, 466, 803.
Yeah.
Okay. And you can see the dates right there. In September, the ones that got questioned, that's about $1,200. Okay. August, almost $1,800. One deposit in October, $803. So you do bring in more than a few hundred bucks. You bring in anywhere from $1,000 to a few thousand dollars a month. Okay?
So we're over 20-some thousand a year, 30,000 a year.
Probably.
Potentially.
Probably. Okay? So, again, in working with Nicole over the last couple of days, we managed to get these cleaned up. So that part's good. Next issue is somewhere along the lines, PNC is deducting $1,671.37 as a credit card payment. Okay? This has happened, as you can see, at least four different times. And you can see the dates. Look at the orange on the reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
What they were supposed to have been doing.
The exact same amount each time.
Yes. They were supposed to be deducting the balance on the account so that the account is paid in full. It's not happening. There's $1,671 being deducted. So trying to relate the $1,671 to the balance on the credit card and all the transactions that make up the credit card balance each month so that it can be posted is not straightforward and easy to do. These transactions need posted yet.
Jeff, what do you mean, excuse me, for the credit card balance?
Okay, so just like your credit cards or statement that you get at the end of the month or somewhere during the month,
right.
You get a statement that says all of your charges are total up to $1,600
okay.
and change. And that is the balance that you have to pay to avoid interest.
Right, right.
Okay. What is being paid is $1,671. It is not the minimum payment.
It's full
significantly
payment.
Less.
Okay.
It is not the full balance on the credit card.
I gotcha.
Which is significantly more. So unable to figure out what's going on so that we can get things posted, we're also being charged 22%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this copy right here for Steve? He doesn't have a copy, so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. It helps me listen intently.
I just
thanks, Mike. About that. Thanks, Mike.
Okay. So this is another issue that we have to resolve so that 24 can be closed. Okay.
So we're paying the merchant fee and then what other additional fee, and then we're paying
the interest.
Well. There's the interest and the 1671 is a separate issue from the.
I understand,
side.
But
it's still tied together. What it cost us to take Visa, MasterCard.
Well, again, what's in the orange is your use of a
that's
credit
our
card.
Credit, our credit
card.
Our credit cards, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I apologize.
So, again, so trying to figure this stuff out in is not straightforward so that we can get it posted. But somewhere along the lines, this has got to get addressed, cleaned up, so that everything can be posted for 24 and the book's closed. And there's, what,
yeah.
7 days left?
Yeah.
Of less which there's two holidays at least.
Say a little less.
Uh-huh. And different issue. But to complicate things, 25 has to be opened up and set up in order for Robin to run payroll due January 3rd. It will take a day and a half to 2 days for me to set it up and have it ready for her to run payroll and post it. She can run it, but she can't post it until the rest of it's done. If Robin has to do it, you're probably talking 2 to 4 days.
Yeah.
Anyways, next section, all
before
the yellow.
Before we go any further,
yep.
Everything keeps coming back to me. I keep hearing PNC, PNC, PNC. With you guys at the village, like, do banks not want to work? We deal with a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, would it work better for the township to consider changing banks?
Yes and no.
Okay.
And I don't mean to skirt
that
it's answer,
fine.
Okay?
I'm new, okay? This is what I do in my life. If I'm dealing with somebody and it ain't working, I change.
Absolutely. I get that. It's me too. So
it's not that easy, though.
Could you change banks? Depositories is what it's called for government. Yes, you could. However, all of the things that are set up with PNC in terms of payments, electronic payments.
You'd have to re-read down.
All of the templates set up to handle payroll all have to be recreated at a new bank.
Okay, well.
And
we
you are talking days.
We don't have to go any further. We don't have time for that, but I just wanted to throw it out there.
Well,
so.
Again, so that everybody understands, it's a very time-consuming process.
Gotcha.
That time doesn't exist here.
Okay.
Could you do better by going to another bank? I think you could. I don't use PNC at the village. Now, the one I use, am I always happy as a client with them? No.
I don't think you'll ever be happy with 100% with any bank.
But we know our way around everything and we can deal with stuff. And again, if we were to change there, it would take us several days to recreate everything that exists with our deposit point.
Okay.
Many years ago, that almost happened. And when I started looking at things and moving forward with the change, all of a sudden the fees that they were going to charge far exceeded the fees that I was being charged with the bank that I was at. So I had counsel turn around and cancel and drop it. And we did not go with that bank because it would have cost me a great deal more. So, anyways, okay.
We've got to pay that credit card off. And
yes, it's got to get taken care of. So, all the yellow transactions. The first three involving OPERS, there are some issues that goes back quite a ways. I want to say this goes back to part of last year. Some of it's been cleaned up, some of it's not. Trying to figure out what's going on is not straightforward. It's got to be dug into. More than likely, one of two things is going to happen with the OPERS balances here. Either they're going to stay and carry forward into next year and somebody else is going to have to figure out what's happened, or we're going to adjust the books for these things and write them off. That list will be given to audit. It'll go from there.
So which do you prefer?
I need to talk to your new auditors to see what they prefer me to do.
Okay.
To me, it doesn't matter one way or the other. They got to get addressed. If we write them off, they're off, and until something gets resolved, nothing gets brought back. So if there's money due to you, you'll end up with some kind of a credit or refund. If you owe money, you're going to have to make a payment.
Yeah.
But it may take a while for somebody to figure out what's going on. We've got to back up to where this occurred, okay? Columbus got paid twice, and it's never been refunded. Now, I will admit Columbus is not the simplest, easiest place to resolve that issue. But it's been hanging out there. Okay. Back a few years, there was a duplicate payment of $1,543 to the state of Ohio. The state of Ohio said, you need to amend your tax return to get your refund. It's not happened.
So let me ask you, how does that happen? We physically paid them twice?
Yes.
I'm not...
You're getting it right.
Yeah. Remember back to 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and all the stuff that happened back there. Right? Remember, you may not remember, but when I first came here and local government services section of the auditor's office gave me a spreadsheet of issues, there was 1,000 rows of question transactions for 17, 18, 19. They couldn't reconcile because they couldn't match these transactions up. That doesn't include the second tab that had all sorts of checks that have never cleared the bank.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes you can match a check up to a electronic transaction, and sometimes you couldn't. And keep in mind that Lisa and Mary insisted on when payroll was run, it's an electronic transaction. There is a proper report to be generated out of UAN for the EFT. You paid everybody by EFT, electronic funds transfer, aka direct deposit. They printed checks, then they stamped all the checks as if they got canceled. And you have a wad of checks with every payroll. Thank you. Makes no sense.
Yeah. Why don't I just give the checks then? You still did the same effort.
Twice.
Right.
Because then you went to the bank and you filled in the template for the electronic funds transfer.
Makes no sense.
There were also files that I went back into for the local taxes, the return for the month, and the check for months was sitting in the file. You filled out the return. You printed the check. You never mailed it. Why? And you wonder why you got penalties and interest from all your Rita and others.
Right. That stamp become an expensive stamp when you don't put it in the mail.
Yes. So there's a couple other transactions. When you see some small dollar amounts, on some occasions, there ends up being a small variance of a few pennies. Really occurs frequently with OPERS, up and down, up and down. And I wait till the end of the year to post the pennies to clear it out. Okay?
Makes
sense. It's a rounding issue, but with them. Your report says this, you upload the report, and it gets processed through their end, and it comes out a few pennies difference.
That's got to drive you crazy for
yes,
someone that's looking for.
Yes, it does.
You
but
come
you
within
look
6 cents, and you're like, really?
Yeah, well, you get down to the bottom line, and I'm off 3 cents. And I'm like, let me go check OPERS first. Okay? So we still got a little problem to figure out what happened with Mr. Mullins and the $3 transaction there with his payroll. There's a medical mutual payment that's off 60 cents. We'll go fix that one. That's an easy one. The VSP payment, that is nothing more than a timing issue. Robin got it paid, but it got posted later. So that clears out in this month, okay? Somehow, a transaction got duplicated for Newark withholdings.
I don't understand how they get duplicated.
Anything can happen.
It can be a computer glitch.
Okay.
It can.
So, the last three items, there were credits that came through from Gulls, if I recall correctly, involving the police department and some things that were returned. It got posted as a reduction to the check that was submitted to pay them. I'm not sure that was the correct way to handle it, but it got posted, so that's a good sign. We need to see some future statements from Gulls to see what happened and how to clarify or clear this one up, okay? Because somewhere along the lines, there's going to be a statement that comes through with credits on it, which eventually will cancel these out. There are all sorts of weird things that happen, and this is why you reconcile on a monthly basis to find these things and fix. Okay? You know, weird things, like I said, weird things happen.
It's like malpractice.
So you identify them, and you research it, and you fix it.
I understand.
Okay?
I'm doing it at work right now.
So,
to me, it doesn't make sense. How is it that you go in for getting your tonsils out and you come out with one less kidney?
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad.
How do you pay someone twice?
It was bad.
Sometimes dealing with electronic payments, it could be easier than you think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I guess since I'm not the one, I know my electronic payments is pretty simple. Gas and electric and sewer bill when it comes in every 3 months. And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, once I pay that, if I said, did I pay that? Is it easy to go back and look to see if it's sent or did it go when you hit send? So I could see where something like that could happen.
So now, while you're doing that, let's say your wife, your significant other, and two kids coming in.
Yeah. And then did I hit that or did I not? Well, let me hit it again.
You didn't think you did, and you hit it again.
Right, because it's not going to show up for a while. Yeah.
Yeah, a day or two later, you go look, and it's like, I paid that twice. How'd that happen?
Well,
it happens.
Uh-huh. Again, that's why you reconcile on on a monthly basis, regular basis, so you pick these things up and you address them.
Right? It's easier to figure out at the end of the month than it is to figure out at the end of the year.
Yes. Yes. But there are just times where getting to these things and when you involve others, it takes a lot longer than you think. Okay? Yeah, it's... There are still some other things hanging out there. There are probably 30, 40 requests from OPERS for clarification of earnings that when that individual retires, it will become a real issue for you. And the longer it goes, the harder it's going to be to do the research and figure out what happened. That list existed 4.5 years ago when I came here. It still exists today. Mm. Okay? Most of the questions that have arose over the 4.5 years, I've addressed, or Robin has. Okay? So currently, we stay up on these things. Getting to the old ones, no, they're back there yet. They're going to be an issue for you. Okay? So, it's going to take somebody that is familiar with governmental accounting to go back and look these things up and figure out what happened. The unfortunate side, too, is the files aren't in the best of condition either.
So where we stand, I've been here now, I'm starting my 12th year, and you go back to 18, 19, in those years, we didn't have the reports. Even the reports we got then sometimes didn't match the other. The trustees were sold a bill of goods, in my opinion, that it didn't match up in reality. So we thought we were doing good, but hearing the pains that we're seeing now is in a way it could be good labor pains because the fact that we're back on track or close to being back on track and setting things into place that this doesn't happen again. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yes, but it's going to take additional approvals from the trustees.
Okay.
For the better part of 3 years, I've been telling you, you need to find somebody like me, part-time or full-time here, to do what I've done.
Okay.
Okay. Physically, one person cannot do this, and it is not a glorified bookkeeper's position.
So are we talking a CPA like yourself?
Not necessarily a CPA, but somebody with governmental accounting experience. They need to have the education. They need to understand accounting. They need to have some experience in governmental accounting.
And what would be your recommendation? Is it a part-time position, 20 hours a week? Are you talking 30 hours a week?
I would suggest part-time or full-time. And the reason being is this person's going to be experienced and knowledgeable on how to do everything. So if somebody gets sick, somebody goes on vacation, or heaven forbid, something happens to someone.
They can still...
Exactly, and they know exactly what's going on.
Okay.
Okay? There are still a lot of things this person can be involved with besides everything that's here.
So we're looking at the budget for 2025. Price-wise, what would you say we would be looking at, and can our budget afford a person this time?
I do believe under the administrator there's a position for $75,000.
Okay.
In the budget.
Okay. And for a person of this caliber, are we looking at a person that is $30,000, $40,000? I mean, what are we cost-wise, their initial salary, not with the benefits?
Lots of luck finding somebody for that price.
Well,
I said 75,000.
I don't mean to insult you. I'm just asking.
I said 75,000.
75,000. Oh, you said that there is 75,000. I didn't know that you were saying that's exactly what it's going to take. I just want to make sure that we're clear. One, the people that watch this This is their money that we're talking about.
Well,
so as a trustee, I'm trying to make sure that I got it. I fully understand how much we got to look at.
I'm going to tell you, it's going to cost you $75,000 plus the benefits.
Okay.
Now, the other side that goes with this, if you get somebody that knows what they're doing, nobody does anything as far as investments here and investing your balances. If you get somebody that knows what they're doing and they invest the balances correctly, they can more than pay for themselves.
Absolutely. I said the same thing when we had an administrator because of the fact that the monies that he was able to bring in. So my next question is, we need to figure out how to find, we're not going to know the person when we look at him. Only you're going to know.
Yeah.
One, we need to know where to start looking. Two, do you know of such person that would fit our mold?
I've not had much luck with that, trying to find someone. Because of past problems here, they get turned off. So there's an issue that you have to overcome. To start looking and see what you can find and what responses you get, I would start with posting the position on Ohio GFOA's website.
Okay.
For starters. You can also post the position on OTA, Ohio Township Association's website.
Yeah.
You're probably going to get the best responses from there.
Okay.
Okay? But that means a job description has to be developed, and you have to put together the education and experience requirements that you want.
And are you more than willing to be able to help Mr. Mazur as far as give us a guideline of exactly what we're looking at?
I can come up with some things to give him some examples to help out with that. Yeah. So.
Did you say the GFOA?
Ohio GFOA.
Ohio GFOA.
Yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Government Finance Officers Association. That person, regardless of whether you have a fiscal officer here or not, is a necessity.
Okay.
What's the criteria for a fiscal officer?
There is the high school education.
No. There's two things.
Residency.
Resident and a voter, registered voter. They don't need any experience, education, or anything for the job. Need I say any more?
No. That's just...
Yeah, I'm going to back up here for a second. I want to mention something about the investments.
I'm sorry?
Same as this position.
Well, yeah, I understand, but when you're talking, I think there's a world of difference, though.
Yes.
So
I wouldn't disagree with you.
To go back to the first page of the reconciliation and the line immediately below the red line, your checking account balance is almost $5.2 million. You want to guess how much interest that earns a month?
That is going to
zero.
Be really
absolutely nothing,
because that should be bringing in about $800 a month.
It's not invested, though.
Excuse me, not $8,000 a month.
Yeah,
it's not invested, though.
Invested.
He just said that.
Not invested.
So why are we not putting that into an account that draws us some interest each month?
Because nobody right now has the ability to transfer the money around and do that.
Because of a lack of a fiscal officer.
For starters.
So then the township loses, the residents lose the ability to see their money work for them.
Exactly.
Because every penny that we can make off of the monies that are collected, that taxpayers like myself that pay in, even if it's $8,000 a month on $5 million.
Yeah.
Because right now, CDs are paying 5%.
Yeah. I have approximately the same amount of money in the bank at the village. I've earned in excess of $300,000.
Yeah.
This year for interest.
So that's even more than $8,000 a month. Because if it was 10, that'd be... How much did you say that you made in interest? Three?
$300,000.
Okay. Yeah.
Can you start? Yeah.
That far exceeds what they pay me.
Yeah, it's over $10,000 a month.
Do you use that star?
I use Start Ohio. I have an investment advisor because I can't buy securities myself.
Right.
I need a broker.
Right.
And we work together mm-hmm. as to how much and how long things are invested. Mm-hmm. So it's invested in treasuries, government agencies, and mm-hmm. potentially next year I'll get into some commercial paper.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So.
Yeah. Gold, baby.
Mm-hmm. So.
Well, again, Mr. Mazur, just like I said about what your position is, every position has its ability. Just as I always say, you don't go to a dentist for brain surgery. A good person in this position would be able to show us where, I mean, same amount of money, we're getting zero for our interest. He's getting $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
And all you got to do is pay someone $70,000, $75,000 a year to be able to show us and set it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's a no-brainer.
So to equate that a little differently, that $300,000, if that's what you could have made here,
yeah,
that could have financed one or upwards of two police officers.
Absolutely.
Or two firefighters.
Two 2.5, yeah. So I was thinking the same yeah. thing. The only difference is, the reason I didn't say that is because each of our line items is supplies them. So,
yeah.
But we can't utilize that money for that. We could from the general fund. But, yeah, that's a good analogy.
Well, in that, the interest, it doesn't all go to general fund by state constitution, state law. It has to go to guest tax and MVL and permissive MVL funds in proportionate share.
And one of the biggest pluses is, I know, like, I pay money on my interest every year. We wouldn't have to pay taxes on that interest
since
we're a government.
Correct.
So it's like free money. Just by moving it to a different line item and being able to do the numbers and having a person that understands that. Yeah.
You only need a rolling balance of about $1.5 million in the
right, out of
account.
$10 million that we bring in. And we're looking at
in the checking account
yeah,
in order to keep
right.
the bills.
Right. And on the downside of it, we're looking at $5.1 million of bringing in $300,000. Realistically, the reason I'm saying that is we have a $10 million budget. We could easily say that there would be $7 million that we could do this
no,
with.
You'd have five.
I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah.
You wouldn't go that
I
high.
Wouldn't go that far.
Okay.
Because excuse you live
me,
off of property taxes.
I'm going to call real quick.
I'm sorry.
You live off of property taxes.
Right.
You get
right.
revenue twice a year.
Right. Okay. Gotcha.
Okay.
So that's fair enough to say. I see that the monies that we're looking at, $5 million versus $10 million, it would seem as if we could utilize more than the $5 million, 5.1, because there's, but you got to have a leeway.
Yeah.
And this is where
you
expertise.
You do have $1 million in Star Ohio.
Okay.
Earning some interest.
Gotcha.
Okay. So that part's decent.
So on a conservative side, Jeff, if we just invested strictly in the Star investment,
oh, if you just roll it into Star Ohio, you probably pick up $200,000 in a year.
Okay.
Now, you're also in a declining interest environment.
Understand.
Okay. So even the $5 million invested, if you can hold 4%, that's $200,000.
Yes, sir.
So
that's
you know.
Not, oh, I'm sorry. John.
No, that's okay. It's just, it's one of these things, again, where we never had a administrator before, and I had talked through the show with the different educational through the OTA that we go to, and most people are like, you need to get a good administrator.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing you're saying. You need to get a good finance person.
Yes.
And once we did, the amount, the millions, I can think of one grant, it's $11.7 million. I mean, one grant, 11 point out of your salary.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lifetime of your salary for that one grant. That's not including another four that I can think of on top of that.
The other side that goes with this is a person can provide a great deal of help to Steve in addressing the budget side of things to take place instead of Steve having to figure out what's going on.
Yes.
Okay. And I've gone back and forth with Steve on a handful of things he's asked for, and I said, I'll take care of it. We'll get it done.
Yeah. The biggest thing that this board should have a concern about in hiring someone like that is where do we put them? And that's an easy fix. You know what I mean? Exactly.
Yeah. The other side that goes with this, too, is this individual would be able to help Robin out in getting things done and making sure things stay up to date.
Right.
Okay? Robin gets buried every week with payroll, Monday through Friday, or I should say through Thursday because it's got to be done by Thursday. Okay? And Friday, now she picks back up with accounts payable. Between those two things, she's buried.
It took us 11 years to do a hop skip to get the payroll so that they had that extra time just by skipping that 1 week. 11 years of talking about it and trying
days
to, yeah,
in order to process.
And absolutely. That should have been done.
The accuracy that is necessary with payroll is 100%.
Yeah.
You can't make a mistake. If you do, you immediately must fix it. Okay? There's
no time frame.
I reviewed payroll for over a year here for Robin. And I can't tell you the volume of mistakes that occurred, especially with one department. Once the fire department went to the new system that they have for tracking all the guys' time, it worked great. Rarely is there an issue. Okay. Stevens is pretty good with what he does. But again, when you have to sit there and go through and recalc and review and send it back multiple times to get things fixed and corrected.
Yeah.
If you make a mistake and you miss it and the auditors find it, guess what? It's an ugly issue that becomes very public.
Well, I think going into 2025, this is something that the board really, we need to address this. And as you said, there's room in the budget. It's a factor that I've been in the same situation when we said we need to get a administrator. And it's like, well, can we afford it? How can you not afford to?
True. Very true. So, and again, I have told you guys for some time that I'm trying to retire.
Right.
I am done at the end of January.
Sure.
Once UAN is opened up for 25, 24 is closed, year-end reports are taken care of.
So,
and so on in there, okay? All of which takes a great deal of time to get it done.
So my question would be, we find X person and they get in, they hit the ground running, etc. Should we not have you come in on a quarterly basis
I won't do it.
Okay.
I'm serious. I'm retiring.
I gotcha.
Okay. If you hire someone that has the experience and the education, you won't need it.
Okay. I just didn't know if we wanted a CPA to, you know, every quarter look over things to see if there's anything that they catch.
If you do that, it would be a separate third party.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you better find somebody that's well experienced with this stuff.
Okay.
Okay. But again, if you hire the right person with the education and the experience, you won't need that. Okay.
Okay.
Any other great news for us?
Tomorrow's Christmas Eve.
That's right.
And Christmas Day, and we all have the day off to have fun.
Sleep in.
Tomorrow is my last day to work this year.
I can't say that.
It's called.
Comes down to poor accountants that have year end stuff. It don't happen.
I'm trying to get my year end done.
So.
Guilt-free sleep-in day.
So, my last issue I have, my engagement letter that I submitted for 150 hours to take care of everything for the end of 24, first of 25, getting things done, you approved it 50 hours.
Okay.
The 150 hours was a very reasonable estimate.
Well, there's a reason behind that. The whole board wasn't here.
I say I don't remember this.
Well,
okay, it was the day
rather than a government shutting down.
not approving me wouldn't have shut you down.
Right, right. But Mr. Blevins and I agreed to the 50 hours until the board could meet again with a full staff. I mean, a full board. Okay. So, is that on the agenda today?
No.
No, sir.
How far is that 50 hour? How far are you into the 50 hours?
I haven't started to use it yet.
Okay.
I am finishing up what's on two engagement letters I have.
Okay.
I'm down to about 16 hours on each.
So there was nothing there personally. But when we're usually when the board is doing something like that, a lot of times I know myself, I'm like, I'd rather have the full board so that they have an opportunity to have a say in it.
And when do you meet again?
The 9th.
We'll be fine until then.
Okay.
Okay. Because I will be starting in on those hours. Or
I apologize. I didn't realize you weren't aware of
that. There is one more thing.
I was like, what are you talking about?
that's why.
We were sick.
I have been in conversation with the auditors.
Okay.
The new auditors. Okay. Regarding things they're looking for here, trying to answer their questions. More important is addressing the federal schedule of grants. So technically you're supposed to have a single audit for 2020, 22, 23, and 24.
Mm-hmm.
Annual audit, because you have exceeded $750,000 in expenditures of federal funds. Okay. 21 you did not. They're looking for certain things. I've gone back and I've managed to get my hands on some things, so I will be back in contact with the auditors, making sure that what I've got is what they want. But I'm also questioning, they have receipts and they have all the vouchers, and I'm certain documentation should be sitting in there with these transactions. So I'm going to have to go over to their offices and take a look at this stuff and see what's going on. But I do have, I hope I've got most of the documents I need. The one thing that I don't have a lot on is CARES and ARPA and the awards. And I'm not so sure there's a whole lot on that, to be honest.
I've been looking, Jeff, and I have not.
Those two grants have been pretty loose. Or they got looser over time. Oh. And ARPA was about $1.2 million.
Yes, sir. And that's all I have is a printout from the Treasury. It says you have $1.2 million. That's
yeah.
it.
That'll be helpful. Okay. The other grant, CARES, that was, I want to say, close, just over $1 million there, too. And again, the award, I think it's a pass through from the state of Ohio to here. So trying to piece that together. When it comes to grants, and I'm going to say any grant, but more specifically, federal funds. Those documents that come into play from the application to the letter of award and then the drawdowns, they all need to be kept in one place with one person. And that should be the fiscal office. Okay? So that when it comes time for audit, all you should have to do is say, here's the folder, boys. Here's the box, guys. Right now, if you walk back there in one file cabinet, you will find every drawdown on the SAFER grant that has been submitted to FEMA. And the supporting documentation for the whole thing. We've got all the documentation. There's a couple other grants we've got the documentation on, but I had to do a little digging to come back and get it all. Okay? But again, if you have sloppy records with your federal grants, you're going to lose it. If you can't justify your expenditures, they will question the cost in an audit, and the feds may come back to you for the money.
Okay.
That's
what is CARES? What was that grant?
That's another one of the COVID grants.
Oh.
Okay. So, again, I'm giving you a warning on that one going forward. And I'm really surprised you get any federal funds right now because you haven't met the single audit requirement. You're 4 years behind.
So, gentlemen,
okay.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I know it's
you
not
have
on,
all day.
I'm sorry.
You have all day.
I don't know. I'm not asking for us to move on anything or et cetera, but I think it's time that we take a serious look at our budget and actually fulfilling a position that we have been informed about that we really need to take a look at. And having a person, a said person in, that would be able to oversee these things that is going to end up hindering us, as well as someone that is able to understand where what line items to put money in that can actually help the township benefit from the monies coming in, that would strengthen our budget abilities. I don't know if we need to set up another, in the first of the year, set up another meeting to say, are we going to start looking for said person? Or if this is something the rest of the board may hinge that not at this time. Today's not a day to make that decision, but as we go into the holiday, I think that we need to weigh this on our mind, because I think we need to start 2025 off with a good plan. And that's pretty much all I have, sir.
Okay.
Do you have anything else for me?
I do.
Yes.
So my name was thrown out there on the your letter of engagement. So I just want to clarify something, because you won't be here on the 9th when it comes up. So when I came in an office a year ago, my very first day in here, you and I had a conversation. You told me you were retiring in the end of January a year ago.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm asking you today, you're retiring at the end of January, and that's it.
Yes.
So we vote on your letter of engagement for the hours you're asking for. That's going to be the end of the hours you're going to be asking for through the township, because you're retiring.
Correct.
That's all I needed to know.
There may be a small amount of hours left that I will continue to answer questions to audit. Because I promised to do that, okay?
It was never, and so you know, in that meeting that John and I, and James wasn't here, I specifically said it was never about you or anything about you that I'm not putting those hours through. Okay. Right? So I'll go ahead and restate it today. It's your work's impeccable, and it's been a pleasure to work with you and all of those things. Even with the thing that John basically just said asking for, I won't be comfortable moving forward on any of that until we get a resolution on what we're doing with the fiscal officer, because I think we're just crazy if we do. We have got to get an answer from the auditors of the state or from someone on what we're doing with this fiscal officer here at this township. So that's my part of it.
The unfortunate side of things with that issue too is, while that person is doing nothing but taking a paycheck from the taxpayers, you can't stop and shut the township down and not pay anything.
And who is this?
You have to keep moving forward.
Who is this?
Fiscal officer.
Okay. I just wanted that for the record.
You need to keep moving forward. You got to find a way to do it. Okay.
Well, anyone else? Anything else for Jeff?
I have nothing.
Thanks, Jeff. Merry Christmas.
Same to you guys.
Okay. Happy New Year, because I won't see you.
I'll be buried in the books.
All right. I don't know how you're going to enjoy retirement, because you're always like this working, and then now you don't have to do that.
I'd be part-time retirement. I still got the village going.
Yeah.
But I have my afternoons and evenings off frequently.
Okay.
All right. Moving on. Mr. Mazur, looks like you have
I just have some resolutions for you. Yes, sir. The first resolution I have, and I want to do this while Jeff's here in case there's any questions, this is a resolution authorizing the transfer of funds. And whereas funds have been appropriated to be transferred from the general fund to the permanent improvement fund, and whereas the funds to be transferred are provided to access resources for the new road department building and other capital improvements. Section 1, that approved personnel are hereby authorized to transfer $100,000 from the general fund to the permanent improvement fund. that all actions of this board concerning and relating to this resolution were passed in an open meeting of the board, and that all deliberations of this board and any of its committees that result in such formal action were in a meeting open up to the public in compliance with section 121.22 of the ORC. And this resolution shall be declared an emergency, be in full force and effective immediately upon its adoption.
So moved as the resolution is written. I'd ask for a second.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
And Mr. Leeser?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Then the next resolution I have is Resolution 2024-204. It's a resolution authorizing the township administrator to accept and adopt a Teamsters 413 collective bargaining agreement negotiated for the township's road department. And be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the board approves and authorizes the administrator to execute the adoption of the Franklin Township's road department negotiated collective bargaining agreement for the period of January 1, 2025 through December 31st, 2027. And be it further resolved that all former actions of this board concerning and related to this resolution were passed in an open meeting of the board, and that all deliberations of this board and any of its committees that result in such formal action were in meeting open to the public, compliance with section 121.22 of the ORC. Be it further resolved that this resolution shall be declared an emergency and be in full force and effective immediately upon its adoption.
This is for the clerical?
No.
The road department.
I was like getting ready to say,
so
yes,
moved on
question.
The resolution as it's written for the road department contract.
I'll second that.
Any discussion?
I thought he said clerical there for a minute, and I'm like, did I miss something?
Can we have a roll call on that, please?
Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
And Mr. Leeser?
Yes.
And I have two documents for you gentlemen to sign. One is the actual signage page for the contract, and then the other one, of course, is the resolution.
Okay.
And then I'll attach the contract to that.
Just start signing here, and it doesn't matter?
Yes, sir. The next resolution I have is Resolution 2024-206. It's a resolution approving the 2025 Delta insurance contract. This is attached to our health insurance plan. The township has Delta Dental, and then we have another resolution for VSP, which is the Vision. Be resolved that effective January 1, 2025, the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, approves and authorizes a contract with Delta Dental Insurance Plan for the calendar year 2025, offering dental coverage for benefit employees of Franklin Township. Be it further resolved that all formal actions of this board concerning and related to this resolution were passed in an open meeting of the board, and that all deliberations of this board and any of its committees that result in such formal action were in a meeting open to the public, in compliance with all legal requirements, including section 121.22 of the ORC. This resolution shall be declared an emergency and be in full force and effective immediately upon its adoption.
And this has not changed anything. It's the same identical, same coverage, same everything.
Yes, sir. there's a slight increase this year of $1.37.
But the coverage has not changed.
Coverage is all the same.
So moves as the resolution is written. I would ask for a second.
I'll second.
Roll call, please. Or any more discussion? Sorry.
Okay. Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
And Mr. Leeser?
Yes.
Then the next resolution I have is Resolution 24-207, it's a resolution approving the 2025 Vision Service Plan, VSP contract. Be it resolved that effective January 1, 2025, the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, approves and authorizes a contract with VSP for the calendar year 2025, offering vision care insurance coverage for benefited eligible employees of Franklin Township. All formal actions of this board concerning and related to this resolution were passed in an open meeting of the board, and in all deliberations of this board and any of its committees that result in such formal action were immediately open to the public in compliance with all legal requirements, including section 121.22 of the ORC. This resolution shall be declared emergency and be in full force and effective immediately upon its adoption.
Same thing, same identical.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So moved as the resolution's written. I would ask for a second.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, I'd ask for a roll call vote.
Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
And Mr. Leeser?
Yes.
And then the last thing, gentlemen, as you're aware, that we have started our second audit, so to speak, of the township with a new set of auditors from Charles E. Harris. A question arose from the auditor. They would like to have our minutes that since late September 2023 until, of course, as you know today, are videoed and audioed. The new auditor requested that he have transcribed minutes in a summary form, a hard copy. We don't have those, of course. What we do have, and I spoke to our legal counsel about this, we do have audio, we do have video, and the concern was, well, if the audio gets blurry, it's not recognizable, you can't hear everything in a meeting, that could be an issue. What we do is actually have a tape recorder, so we have two audios in the meeting.
Correct.
Discussion again with our attorney, she said this is fine. We are not obligated to provide a paper copy to the auditors. What we are going to do in the future, though, is do a summary of each meeting on a hard copy, just to have a hard copy on record. But the auditor sent me an email Saturday evening saying that he is concerned with that and he's going to ask for an opinion from the auditor of state. And that's fine. So we'll just wait to hear what happens. But in this next meeting, and again, I spoke to our counsel, and this is fine. So in totality, what I will do is, and I will give you all a hard copy, meeting minutes from September through December
23rd.
In a motion, you will just pass all those meetings. And then moving forward, we will. We'll just do a brief summary on paper of the meeting.
Highlights.
Yes. Yes. Nothing in depth. But so I will keep you posted as to my further discussions with the new set of auditors.
I know when we do the conference every year, and that was something for years that we have been taught in courses that in lieu of actually handwritten or typed minutes, that you can use the audio and video as said. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see if there's a change because, you know, we have that conference coming up. This is going to make a huge difference between what they're teaching and what's factual that comes out of the prosecutor's office.
Anything else for us, Mr. Mazur? Don't mean to cut you off.
No, that's fine.
I apologize to get these organized. The only other thing I have is I've been exchanging emails back and forth. Again, the Hague Avenue situation mm-hmm. has arisen. Mr. Guyton, who's a resident here, Tim Guyton, had a meeting with the county engineers concerning the traffic on Hague and Chippewa. which is the street that leads into the school at Columbus Prep. From this meeting that Mr. Guyton had with the county engineer's office, and I verified this with the county engineer's office, the suggestion is that we start ticketing. We have no parking signs, no standing signs on Chippewa. That we actually start enforcing those no parking, no standing signs consistently until we get some type of movement, apparently from this meeting that the other parties have, to get this school to act. We thought we had this fixed last year. Apparently the school doesn't want to follow the game plan that we laid out.
Yeah.
And again, not to repeat myself, but it is suggested that the town should be far more aggressive.
Well, if you look back several meetings ago, mm-hmm. I gave strict direction to the chief here to make sure that is being done.
I thought you were referring to Ray Avenue.
Ray, I said Ray and Chippewa.
Okay.
Because we have problems in both locations. And I gave him, and if it's not being done, I want to know. I can tell you, I know the answer to that. I'm tired of hearing about Chippewa and Ray Avenue.
So here's...
And hang on. And if it takes him going out personally, writing tickets, I don't care. I want those cars ticketed. If they stop, I want them ticketed. I don't know how much more I can make it clear. If you want to drag him over here, I'll explain it to him if you want. But I think we've had enough. I know I've had enough talking with people about this, residents about this. This board's been taken up by this several times. There's no action. I want action.
So, Mr. Chairman,
yeah,
looking at their budget, their carryover, there's no reason that we can't take, I don't know if they're taking Christmas break or when they come back the first year. They do have the funding that we can even do special duty to where they can focus in on that for some time and not pull officers away from the rest of the township with the amount of runs that we get. I don't know if the Sheriff's Department is able to help us in this area. That would be great to see if they would.
Mr. Fleshman, you have, I agree with taking the officers off the street, but you got a lieutenant and you got a police chief.
I agree.
That's two of them, one at Chippewa, one at Ray Avenue, writing tickets.
But I believe it's going to take more than just two of them writing tickets. What I'm saying is because when you have the amount of cars that are there, if we have three officers show up and just start writing tickets, walking down through there, it's going to be more than by the time they get to my car, I'm starting to move again. If we're going to attack this, we need to be able to show a strength, a unity of, and I agree, using the chief and the lieutenant, but we need to be able to show that we're going to be here every day. If we look at the budget and say how much of their carryover are we going to apply to this along with the chief and along with the lieutenant, I believe that it's not just SWAT net flies, that we mean business. And then what's going to happen is obviously the people that are breaking the law are going to either start saying, I'm going to pull my child from this charter school because it doesn't make sense. There's no ream or rhyme why I can't come in to get my child. And it's going to make the school wish to sit down as they did with the county, as the meetings that we've been to mm-hmm. with the county, and have designed a plan that keeps traffic flowing. So
I agree with you there. Yeah, is you know, you got a police chief and you got a lieutenant. And yeah, they can do it. They break out their pencils and write tickets just like the officers do. And they just take them both up there to each one. Take them both up to Chippewa. You do Chippewa a week. You do Ray Avenue a week. You go back to Chippewa. I would like to see them writing tickets every single day.
Mr. Blevins?
Yeah, I'm good with that. I'm curious. where we're at with the lieutenant and his return to duty. He's on leave. We had an officer that was on leave and he was questioned. I cannot remember the last time I was given an update on when Dave would be back and things like that. You know, we've gone months. Maybe you've got it, but if you do have it, I would like to know. I think the board should know. We had an officer off and he was made like a dog and pony show here talking about him during meetings on how much time he'd been off and different things like that and everything. And so I just, you got to remember, if you're going to put the lieutenant out there, he's on light duty.
I assumed, whatever. I mean, after this amount of time, I assumed he was back.
Oh, no, he's still.
And I just sent an email to him last week. The last information we have regarding Lieutenant Ratliff is he is to report full duty on January 6th. So I sent David an email. I either need to know from his physician he is ready to go full duty on January 6th, or he has to remain on light duty after January 6th. So I'm waiting for that information from Lieutenant Ratliff.
Thank you, Mr. Major. Anything else for us?
Just one more thing real quick. Is there you to do, me or not?
Yes, because you have an opportunity there, Mike, with the other trustees.
Kind of fits right in. So for a long time, there's been discussions about these MOUs and stuff like that and everything, and I've spoke to Steve about it. With this whole thing going on with paid holidays and different things like that and everything, I want to know from the board, is there a desire to go over these MOUs? I've sat back there for a year and heard you talk about it. No. I've been in office for a year. If there's a desire to go over the MOUs, I think we need to have Julie here so we can be well versed on what we can and cannot do. And this was a conversation you and I had.
Yeah, I think it's time to open up these MOUs because my personal opinion is that they need to be following the policies and procedures manual. So, they are not in a collective bargaining agreement.
So that's I wanted to know if Steve said that he spoke to her and she would be willing to be on a phone call or here. It's the same price. So I would love for her to be in-house set there and for us to go into an executive session and have a conversation about them and things like that. And so I just wanted to bring it to your attention. If you don't want to do it, it's fine, but it's been going on for a long time. And there's four of them, and there's so many differences in there that's unbelievable.
Yeah. Can you set that up for right after the first week of January?
I'll be happy to. I know that there's a trustee meeting scheduled for January 9th.
Yes.
I will ask Julie if you're all in agreement that if she could come in at 10 o'clock on the 9th, whatever time, prior to the regular meeting.
And Steve?
Yes, sir.
I'm thinking back. I think we've only had MOUs the last nine years. My question to Julie would be, why don't we just go buy our policy book? Why do we have to have MOUs? We don't have to. We can take them away in a stroke of a pen.
That's my understanding. What's different here, and other townships use MOUs, but from my experience, yes, in the handbook, everybody
would be equal.
Aside from the union with their contract. But everybody had the same. And the only thing that was different was you had different pay scales for a police chief and a fire chief and administrator and a road department. But other than that, everybody just played by the same rules. There were no special holidays and there were no special cash outs.
It was too difficult to keep track.
We all just play by the same rules.
That's how it should be.
But we're different. We're different.
John, you have anything else?
I do not, sir.
I do not have anything. Mike, you have anything else?
It, sir. I just wanted to know where we were on it, if we're going to do it or we're not going to do it. This is the end of the year, and we should be doing it. I thought they all kicked in at the end or beginning of the new year, but as I got into them the last 2 weeks, one's anniversary, and you know what I'm trying to say, and so They're just all over the place, and it just really needs to be taken a look at. You guys decide. We'll decide what you're going to do, but I just think she needs to be here so we can ask questions, and that's all I got, sir.
All right. Meeting's adjourned.